Hello. Welcome back to Cavancast. With me, your host. Your very warm host. It's getting... Summer's here. Summer's pretty much here. It's good. I'm going to my first festival next week, which is very exciting. Not my first festival ever. I've been going to festivals for many a year and very much like them, but it's my first time at this particular festival, and this particular festival is Slam Dunk Festival in England. There's two. There's one that happens up north, and there's one that happens down south. A bit like Reading and Leeds, but this one is it's in Hertfordshire. The one I'm going to is in Hertfordshire anyway. And I'm excited. It's very pop punk. It's very rock. It's very alternative. It's just a good time, man. And I can't believe I've never been. Maybe I did go. Like, I have vague memories of maybe going one year, but that was a long time ago and I don't remember some places I went back then. So I'm going to say this is my first time at Slam Dunk Festival. So it should be good. And then I'm going to Download Festival. If any of you are going to Download, I'll see you there. Well, I might see you there. Probably won't recognize me. Unless you're sitting in the campsite at like 2 a.m, hearing people having conversations, and you just think, I know that voice. You run into some really weird people at festivals, man. There's the sort of any time after midnight, if you're walking around, that you just... Someone should make a video game out of it, I think, because there's so many interesting characters, like NPCs that you run into. Well, they're not NPCs, actually. Like, they're just having a good time, but they actually have way more personality than a lot of people. But festivals seem to be a time when everyone just has this release, and they it's like freedom for a few days, and they just let loose. And for some people, that involves running around in their pants, covered in mud, drinking beer out of a shoe. And they look like they're having a really good time. And as I always say, if you are not hurting yourself or anybody else, crack on, mate. You do you. So cracking on is what I'm going to do now. I hope you've been well. If you are in need of a bit of relaxation, a bit of escapism, and you can't make your way to a festival right now, or festivals aren't your thing, and listening to relaxing podcasts is, well, then you are in the right place. Because what I do here is I use a random word generator to generate 5 random words and then talk about them with whatever comes to mind while you chill, relax, nap, just escape for a bit. Sound good? Cool. The first word of today is blow. Kaboom. That is how you do an explosion sound on a chilled podcast. I think there should actually be a choice of how, maybe not how they actually sound, because I don't think we can change the sound of explosions. They kind of explode, that's what they do. I don't think there's much freedom of choice there. But at least how we perceive them can change. Like, you know, okay, so like in the future, there's this Neuralink thing that's supposed to be coming in. You know, they're like chips in the brain, and they can, you know, help us process stuff, make us stronger, make us smarter, and, you know, change perception of things, which is terrifying. But, you know, when it gets to that point, and we're basically all cyborgs anyway, if we have the option to change the way we hear sounds, I reckon there should be an option to change the sound of an explosion. So when it goes boom and the sound waves ripple through the air and reach our eardrums, whatever processing unit we have in our brains at this point will recognize it as the sound of an explosion and augment it, love that word, augment it, so that instead of kaboom, we just hear boom. In my voice, I'll put my voice to it, I don't mind. This is an explosion. Or maybe just, pachew. I don't know, something. There's a soundboard. However, I for one am not the biggest fan of the idea of chucking something in my brain that does that. I already chat enough shit to myself, so maybe the same tech, just, you know, it, the earplug version, you know, won't just jump straight to more voices in my head. I'll just go with earplugs so I can take them out. There's food for thought. Anyway, food for thought. Got a few years yet, I think. But it's interesting because, you know, explosions are the first thing that came to my head, but blowing can be gentle as well. I mean, a blow has lots of meanings, doesn't it? It's one of those weird words that can mean almost the opposite of its own meaning. There was definitely probably a better way to say that, but here we are. Like, you use the same word, the same verb, same doing word, to describe the action of something as delicate as producing a little bubble from a little stick with a hoop doused in washing up liquid, as you do when you explode something that you have to stand at least 100 meters away from because the blast is so huge. That's crazy, right? So this makes me wonder what the actual definition is. Okay, blow. Brackets of wind. A move creating an air current. A cold breeze was blowing in off the sea. Or to expel air through pursed lips. Will took a deep breath and blew. Okay, so the common denominator of this is the movement of air, which happens during all of these blows. Well, not all of them, but enough for it to make sense for the use of the verb. But then, I mean, apart from the obvious, the slang term that doesn't really fit into that is when you attempt something and fail at it. Like, oh, you've blown it, or like you've made a mistake, or you've messed it up. So that doesn't really fit, but that's slang, I guess. That doesn't really count. And that is my opinion on that. Listen to the wind blow. Wicked song. The wind is the only element that has ever annoyed me on a personal level. Like, I'm for sure of the opinion that nature has a personality. It probably has a few different personalities considering the world when you look at it, but, you know, say it's just been raining really hard. Has that bothered me? No, it hasn't. It's a much needed release. Does the sun bother me with its heat? No, it brings passion and warmth, love, life into the world. Snow, does that bother me? No, never, for it brings a silence that words often fail to describe. But the wind is a dickhead. I'm not going to go into it too far because I'm pretty sure wind was a word in the podcast from ages ago. I can't remember what I talked about. I think I probably just talked about farts. I was going to say, oh, look how I've matured since then. But I haven't. I really haven't. But no, I'm not going to give the wind the time of day. I feel like it has a vendetta. Okay? Like the really annoying kid who wants to cause you heaps of mischief and just to see what your reaction is. Like that little dickhead. Like I've never stuck my middle finger up at any element as much as I have the wind. When he's in a chilled mood, when he's relaxed and calm, we call him Breeze, and he's lovely, he's great, he's actually very helpful in a lot of times. But when the wind is in one of his in moods, knocking hats off, blowing hair everywhere, and then when he gets really annoyed, causing ridiculous amounts of damage, he's a bit of an asshole. to be honest. I think, do you know what? I think he's actually bipolar. Being bipolar is totally valid. Doesn't stop you being an asshole, but it's valid. Problem is, you can't give the wind SSRIs and, you know, other anti-bad brain medicine, so we'll just have to deal with it, I guess. Very good for energy, though. When, you know, when its energy is directed in the right way, great. Wind turbines, you know, blowing them round and round. Very good. They give me thalassophobia, though. I love that. Thalassophobia. But then when I see a big bird, I got that assophobia, you know what I'm saying? There is no way that I am the first person to make that joke. It's too easy. I like it. It was very fun, but it's definitely plagiarism. The fear of big things is what thalassophobia, that would have been helpful, you know, for the joke beforehand. Never be a stand-up comic, Cav. Never be a stand-up comic. Okay. Is there a difference between a comic and a comedian? I'm not going down that road. I'm not going down it. Yeah. Fear of big things, wind turbines, very huge. Have you ever stood near next to a wind turbine? They are huge, bro. They are big. They are very huge. Damn. Anyway, trying to think of a joke about blowing your mind, but nothing's coming. Guess I'll move on. Rabbit is the next word. Little cute bunnies. Is that right? Little cute bunnies? Cute little bunnies. Cute little bunnies. There we go. Speaking of mind-blowing, actually, here's a fact for you, a fun little factoid. I think I learned this in school. I think my year 8 English teacher was like, I think she said to me, bunnies don't actually exist. I think that's what she said. I feel like she said it in like a less reality questioning way, like a less existential dread kind of delivery. But yeah. Basically, what she said was that young rabbits aren't, or rabbits at all, they're not actually technically called bunnies. Let me fact check this, because I'm not gonna intentionally peddle you falsehoods here. That wouldn't be right. He says, using Wikipedia as a source for nearly everything. Okay. So a young rabbit is called a kit. They are born blind and furless, and they are totally dependent on their mother. When they are very young, the baby will only leave their nest if there is a problem. At 2 weeks of age, the young rabbits begin to eat vegetation. At 4 to 5 weeks old, they feed alongside their mother. So as much as we call them bunnies, because let's be honest, they're very cute and it's a very cute name, it's not the scientific name. Mind you, it doesn't matter really, because I call every dog a puppy even when it's so old that it can barely walk, and when it does walk, it walks into a wall. So what the hell do I know, eh? And I feel like, you know, that fact is an interesting fact. It's a very difficult fact, okay? And I know why it's not that well known. Because in this context, you're listening to me in your ears, and, you know, I'm just talking about stuff that I learned once, or I'm just rambling on while you're doing what you're doing. In this context, the fact doesn't come across as obnoxious. Well, I hope it doesn't anyway. That's not my intention. But I feel like in most scenarios, it would be, the way that fact would come out would be, you know, two people are in like a pet store or a like field or something, and they see a rabbit, and one of them goes, "Oh my God, look, a bunny. Oh, what a cute bunny." And the other person goes, "Actually, they're not called bunnies." There is no way of saying that that doesn't make you look like a dickhead. Am I right? I feel like if I was like, oh, that bunny's really cute, and someone went, they're not actually called bunnies, I would immediately form a new opinion of that person. But that's just me. Maybe it's not that deep, but I kind of feel like it is. I used to love going to pet stores, though. I used to love going to Pets at Home. Or, you know, that's the one that we have in the UK. I don't know. You guys probably have something different in different countries, but any kind of pet store, and just hanging with the rabbits, man. And the guinea pigs they used to have as well, and the hamsters. But mostly it was the rabbits. And the thing I found was that there would always be a few normal looking rabbits just chilling, minding their business, doing their thing. And then there would always be just the, like, the Galashnokli, the destroyer of universes. Like that kind, like the Thanos of rabbits would always be there. Always twice or three times the size of all the other rabbits, looking like one of the store workers accidentally put steroids in its food and looks like it could probably beat up your dad if he stroked it wrong. Do you know what I mean? Always. I think that's like a glitch in the Matrix type thing where they accidentally just repeated the pet store algorithm on the rabbits. Like someone, there was a bug in the code, a Bugs Bunny in the code. Terrible joke. Actually, no, that was a good joke. Ha 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 ha. Laugh. That was a good one. Maybe I should be a stand-up comedian. Let's just go all over the place with our identity in this. I mean, I've been going all over the place with my identity my whole life. So at least I'm consistent with my inconsistencies. There was always a parrot as well. That was always a thing that was there. And you'd always try and make it speak. That one's a... So I have a thing, right, about... Like, I'm not one to stereotype, but I always feel like the people who have pet rabbits look like they should have pet rabbits. I don't mean that in a bad way at all, but like every school friend whose house I went over who had a pet rabbit looked like the sentence, "Do you want to see my pet rabbit?" formed very naturally on their face and vocal cords. I think that's a very good stereotype as far as stereotypes go, but if you were one of those people or are one of those people, you have a vibe, man. You have a bunny vibe, and good for you, you know, keep that bunny vibe, but you have it, just so you know. Don't want to be giving anyone a complex out there because it's not that deep, but just so you know. But yeah, rabbit people are one thing. Parrot people are a different thing. If you go around someone's house and they've just got a parrot there, it's a bit more of a curveball. You know, little timid Jeremy from school, like you go around his house after school and he's got a parrot that suddenly starts squawking political ideologies at you and all his agendas. Probably, I don't know, probably best you don't stick around. Maybe have a biscuit and some juice and then give him a cracker and leave. Shall we have some rabbit facts? I will take that as a yes. Fact number one, rabbits like carrots. Fact two, rabbits are cute. The end. Nah, I'm only joking. I felt like Dwight when I was reading out those facts. Fact one, rabbits are like carrots. Rabbits are like carrots? Rabbits like carrots. Bears eat beets. Now, anyway, rabbits, a male rabbit is called a buck. A female rabbit is called a doe. That'd change the song a bit, wouldn't it? That's like a little alternate timeline thing. Doe, a rabbit, a female rabbit. Ray, that guy from down the road. I don't know. They used to be classified as rodents up until 1912, but then they were moved into the new order, Lagomorpha, which is a very cool word. Lagomorpha. Oh my god, a rodent. No, darling, that's a Lagomorpha. Sweetheart, can you stop correcting me, please? You did this with the bunny thing, and now you're saying words to me that I've never heard before. Well, darling, how do you think I feel being married to someone who doesn't know the difference between a rodent and a Lagomorpha? I want a divorce. And you know what? Fair enough. Rabbits have almost 360-degree vision, but they are born with their eyes shut. Sounds like most of humanity, man. Everybody needs to open their eyes, man. Rabbits communicate using a secret code. Well, it's not actually a secret code, but you could be forgiven for thinking it is because their body movements are so subtle. Rabbits clench their facial muscles and change... Mine don't work, apparently. Facial muscles and change their body position when they are feeling worried. Signs you wouldn't notice if you weren't looking out for them. This is one of the main reasons they're so often misunderstood and don't get the correct care. That's very sad. Speaking of, Bugs Bunny has apparently got a lot to answer for because root vegetables aren't a natural part of a rabbit's diet, and carrots are high in sugar, so should only be fed occasionally and in small amounts. So he's an addict. So Bugs Bunny is an addict, basically.
What's up, Doc?
Diabetes, I'm afraid, Bugs. I'm very sorry. Probably a reason that episode didn't air. Anyway, thank you to the Blue Cross for those facts about bunnies. We can carry on with the root vegetable thing, though, because sprout is the next word. I'm sorry, I told you I wasn't going to send any falsehoods your way, but there's two I've just thrown in there because of my unrelenting need for a segue. Brussels sprouts aren't root vegetables. I'm so sorry for that betrayal. They are, in fact, leaf vegetables. And also, I have actually only just found this out. I always thought they were called Brussels sprouts. But they are, in fact, called Brussels sprouts. Are they? I think there's some Mandela effectage going on there. Brussels sprout. Brussels sprouts. Brussels sprouts. Brussels sprouts. It's like Tolkien and Tolkien. Brussels sprouts. Feels like there's too many S's. Although native to the Mediterranean region with other cabbage species, Brussels sprouts first appeared in northern Europe during the 5th century. They were later cultivated in the 13th century near Brussels, Belgium, from which they derived their name. Its group, Gemifera, or lowercase and italicized Gemifera as a variety name, means gemiferous, or bud-producing. Why is it italicized? What, does it think it's fancy? Does it think it's better than everyone else? I'll just change my name, shall I? Make it italicized. Kevin. Now that just sounds French. Let's leave that one. That's going nowhere. Language and grammar is too messed up already to be going down that road. But I like Brussels, man. I like... the sprout, anyway. I don't know about the place. I've never been. Heard very good things, though. Also, Bruges. I'd love to go to Bruges. Apparently, only takes like 6 hours or something. If you'd like to drive there from some parts of England, from a lot of parts of England, which is ridiculous if you think about it. Like, I could just go now. Am I going to go now? Oh, I have commitments. This is why I have commitment issues, because it means I can't just drive to Belgium. I'll go in a bit. I definitely should go, though. For now, though, sprouts. Sprout. The word. this is another reason I have identity issues, right? Because like I have flitted for a long time between liking and not liking Sprouts and other things. And it just makes me think, like, you know, the whole past life thing and the, you know, we're reincarnated souls, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I think my body got double booked. I think that was the case between a dude from Belgium and a carnivore. And then someone just threw a bird in there as well. Because I just can't stay consistent, man. You ever heard of anyone having commitment issues with vegetables? Well, you have now. What's good, baby? We had a Christmas tradition that was seeing who would be able to cut more Brussels sprouts off the stalk quicker. We stopped it because some fingers were nearly lost, because my family is very competitive. Not my choice to stop it, though. Appendages mean nothing to me when compared with sweet everlasting glory. Take my finger, for I need it not when I bathe in the vast, beautiful waters of victory. Bro, I'm going to write like a book of poems that's just nonsense like that. But like, it sounds really good to read, but when you look closer, it's like, what is he going on about? Do you know what? I think probably the majority of poems from back in the day were probably like that. And we just don't know. Like, it sounds all like, thou hast forsaken my heart, for thou dost not know what one does to me. And it's about like a cat that wanted to come and get cuddles and then decided it didn't want them with its own, and its owner decided to write a poem about it. I genuinely think that is a lot of poetry from back then. I don't really have much else to say on Brussels. I like them. Well, it's because I was going to say, well, I could talk about Brussels, but it's not about Brussels, is it? It's sprout. Sprout is the word. I like them. I like sprouts. Others don't. But the one thing we all have in common is that they make our farts stink. So, yeah. Don't go thinking you're all fancy if you like Brussels sprouts. Because I know what you are. You big old stinker. Let's talk about being fancy, shall we? Because it is the next word. Segway King. First thing that comes into my head was the first time I think I heard the word fancy, which was at primary school. And it came in the form of, my mate fancies you. They weren't saying it to me, though. I was there, so that was nice. But yeah, no, they weren't saying it about me. I think this is where I got the idea that cakes were romantically coded as well, because around the same time as this, I found out about French fancies or fondant fancies. I can't remember which one they're called. French fancies, I think. I don't even know if they still make them. I guess they do. But they were delectable. Like, when you think about a delectable treat, a French fancy... is a delectable treat, is like the definition. They were, if you don't know what they were adorable little cakes, smaller than a cupcake or a fairy cake or something like that. They were little cubes with a little bump on the top, like a little nipple. The cube was made out of sponge, and the little bump on the top was like sort of like vanilla cream. I don't really know. Just this little nipple. I was going to say nipple cream, but that's a very different thing. But yeah, and then the whole thing is covered in like either pink, brown, or yellow fondant icing. And they were the tastiest little goddamn things ever. They really were. And they made you feel so good when you ate them, man. Like they made you feel like everything was going to be okay. It's like if you could eat a kiss on the forehead, that's what they're like. But I don't know why they're called fancies. I guess fondant fancy because they have fondant icing. Dodoy. But the fancy part, I don't know, man. I don't know what that's about. I am Confucian. Maybe it's because you were supposed to give them to someone if you fancied them when you were a kid. I don't know. Like you start off with the fancy and then you progress to the next gesture of love, which is the Haribo heart and then a Haribo ring or a hula hoop ring, you know, whichever one felt right. Love is love, man. Everyone is different, you know. It's okay. Whatever food stuff you think is appropriate. Maybe you don't need a ring at all. Maybe just the egg. You know, the little Haribo egg. Because they're your sunshine. Because, like, sunny side up, egg, sunshine. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not good with this kind of thing. Primary school Riz is crazy, though. Do you remember those? Damn it, I can't remember the name of them. The things that were made out of paper, they're like origami with like numbers and colors on them, and a kid would be like, pick a number between 1 and 4, and the other kid would say 4, and they'd be like 1, 2, 3, 4. And move the thing in and out 4 times, and then you'd open it up and it would reveal a color, and they'd pick a color, and then they'd move it in and out the amount of times that there are letters in that word. So if it was green, it would be G-R-E-E-N, in, out, in, out, in, out. And eventually they'd open it up on whatever it landed on, and the name that's in there would be the person that you ended up marrying. I explained that so badly. I'm so sorry. But I feel like it's a universal thing that everyone knows what I'm on about. Do you know? If you don't, I'm so sorry. I don't even know what to Google. I can't put what I just said as like a thing into Google. Do you know what? Screw it. I'm just going to ask you lot on Instagram. Bear with me. A chatterbox. Thank you, Kelly. Thank you very much. Thank you to everyone else that replied as well, but Kelly was the first, so thank you, Kelly. Also, a couple of you said cootie catcher? So I'm going to assume you guys are American, because that was funny as hell. Cootie? Does anybody have cooties except Americans? I don't know. That's going to be my new word for someone who sleeps with a lot of people. A cootie catcher. Nothing wrong with it. Like, by any means. Let there be 1,000 blossoms bloomed. But if you are doing that, y'all are more likely to catch something out there. And it ain't just going to be feelings, let me tell you that. I haven't done that voice in a while. Anyway, let's move away from STDs. French fancies, very good. Like them a lot. Very good. Very tasty. Love, 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 love them. Where did they come from? Where did they come from? Invented by Mr. Kipling in the 20th century. Good old Kippy. Originally called fondant fancies, but rebranded as French fancies because of petit fours, which are little cakes or baked goods usually served at events such as weddings or afternoon tea. Petit four literally means a small oven. Oh, well, that's cute. And then there's that cleared up. Ta-da! You've been knowledged. And I'm going to move on to the last word now, but just so you know, I'm definitely going out after this to buy some French fancies. If you can get hold of them and you haven't had them before, please do. You won't regret it. So the last word of today before I leave you is sore. Sore. As in, we're soaring, flying. There's not a star in heaven we can't reach if we're trying. So we're breaking free. Did you know, actually, this is quite a fun fact that I'm sure some of you know, but many might not. Zac Efron, star of High School Musical, plays Troy Bolton, actually doesn't sing 99% of the lines in High School Musical. But he does sing, "Soaring, flying," at the beginning of that song. And he's saying, what's the other bit he sings? It's the beginning of the first song. I think it was, "Living in my own world, couldn't understand that anything could happen." I don't know why I've gone Southern. "If you take a chance, this could be the start of something new. It feels so right to be here with you." Uh-oh. Anyway, sore. Sore is a... I love the word sore. I really, really do like it. It's a truly, truly amazing word. And I will tell you for why. Because soaring... to soar, like the verb, it describes and conveys such a different emotional, physical, and spiritual event than flying does. When you think of soaring across the skies, it's exhilarating. It's an exhilarating image. You're ascending at great heights, totally free, no restraints. Higher, 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 further, further, even further, and usually quite fast, at great speeds. Well, no, the speed doesn't really matter, but, you know, it can add to it. Like rockets soar, eagles soar, Icarus soared. There's this amazing intensity to soaring that, in my mind, the word just connotes perfectly. It's like it's bordering onomatopoeia in a way, you know, like the words that sound like other words. No, the words that sound like the action. Well, words that sound like other words. Synonym, homophones. No. Oh God, I don't know. It doesn't matter. Soaring. There's that tension and that release, like the soar. Oh, I just banged my elbow. I've got to remember, I'm in a very small space and I'm a tall dude. Anyway, yeah, there's this real intensity to soaring. Like Buzz Lightyear, right? When, you know, when he says, "This isn't flying, this is falling with style." Soaring is like flying, but with... flying with nuts, like flying with oomph. There's no words coming into my head. I think I just used them all up 30 seconds ago. It's flying with nuts, I think. And yeah, I don't know. I'm just thinking about nuts. I'll throw back to the last episode there. Anyway, let's... where am I going with this? Let me leave you with this, okay? When you're aiming at your goals and your dreams in life, whether they are big or whether they are small, I really urge you to not just go for them. I don't want you to go for them. I don't want you to run at them. I want you to soar towards them. Go at your dreams with that intensity and that imagery. Go nuts. Go nuts at your dreams. Because whatever you're going for, I want you to do it in a way that makes your soul feel free. Like when you go for it, you're releasing what it is in you that is meant to be released. And we all have it. We all have that. You just got to figure out what does it for you. And to release that thing that has just been aching to come out. You deserve to soar. You really do. Not all the time. We can't soar all the time. It takes a lot of energy. But soar towards what makes you feel free. And then bring that freedom back down with you. Bring that idea and experience back down with you. Because then the next time you go up, you'll be that much lighter. And you will soar again. But this time higher and further. Go soar today. All right. And with that, I am going to leave you. I hope you feel a bit more chill than you did before. Maybe not right now, because, you know, I've just talked about soaring, which is the opposite of that. But the sentiment is still there. I hope you're in a little bit of a better place than when we first started. That'll do. That'll do. I wish you well. Thank you for the kind messages about me coming back. Thank you for sticking around. I appreciate you. I am very grateful for you. Thank you very much. I'm aware that some people listen to this podcast and have then found me on TikTok. So if you don't know, I am on TikTok making silly videos that I hope make people smile. And you can find me at, just search Cavern and I'll come up. Cool. All right. Well, apart from that, take care of yourself. Be kind to yourself. And I will speak to you soon. Okay. Bye.